Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Got the other big games for week 16 of the NFL season and some interesting angles on those. We did have Stephen Jones back on at 2:45, and Brian brought us breaking the news for us today that Trayvon Diggs is going to play. So there's a significant amount of interest there. Obviously, would have been nice to get him back a couple of weeks ago with an opportunity to make a move on this division. I mean, you could really be sitting in the good spot, even if he just hadn't lost to Minnesota. So it's interesting that they've decided to do it now, and with Deron Bland now officially being out, the chances of them getting good enough play on the back end definitely dwindling. I think your only shot is to play press man and to give that pressure just another half second to get home. That would be the only thing that would maybe make it possible.
Maybe you're going to be in a situation where Flews is sitting up there thinking, damn, why did I play so much zone? You know,
yeah.
It's very clear that when you do watch how they played, he's got to. I mean, it's such a shame that it's the adjustment part of it, and we kind of felt like that he was adjusting better. You know, remember when it was the Raider game? There was you play zone against the Raiders. You play a lot of zone against the Eagles.
Man against Washington.
You play against Kansas City. You play a little bit more man.
Yeah.
You know, and
there have been some things.
And you felt like that maybe they were going in the right direction that way. Mm-hmm. And then the Detroit game, and it kind of reverted back to like, okay, you start off with somewhat of a game plan. First 15, you kind of have an idea of where, hey, we're coming after you. We're going to create some pressure. You know, they were able to kind of harass the Lions a little bit offensively, and then they go away from it, and then you know, bad things start to happen. Last weekend, you're thinking, we're talking all week about a quarterback that's not accurate. He's young. You let him off the hook.
Big time.
There's just I just think there's so many things that have happened this year that, you know, you say that like, oh, play more man coverage and try and harass and, you know, get the pressure home, which would make sense.
Yeah,
would absolutely make sense against an offensive line that's as compromised across the board as any team. But like I've said before, we talk about it every week, compromised positions. It just never seemed like that Matt Eberflus and this defensive staff took advantage of that.
Yeah, and it seems like the offensive staffs that you're facing are taking advantage of the fact that you're in off coverage.
Yeah.
Like, you can pressure us, but the quarterbacks have fairly easy answers to the test, or at least most of them do.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, the Eagles couldn't get that figured out with Jalen Hurts. Really, back-to-back seasons, you frustrated him with that approach. But the Eagles are on the verge of NFC East history now here, as they have basically ended the two-decade streak, haven't had a repeat winner in the East since they won four in a row. That streak ended in 2004, and it's been fascinating to cover this thing over the last 15 years. It's just grown, and at one point it started to look like, man, the Cowboys are going to come back and actually extend this streak out another year. But Eagles' magic number is now down to one, and they take on the Commanders tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very difficult situation for the, you know, for the Commanders, because, you know, them having a matchup in the secondary, the Commanders are really banged up back
one
there.
Of the few defenses that today is worse than the Cowboys defense. They're 31st in the NFL.
Lattimore, Trey Amos, those guys have really, you know, kind of struggle. They, when it comes to giving up yards, they've given up a ton of touchdowns. You know, I would think that A.J. Brown's probably going to go off in this game.
Yeah.
Would be my guess with the way that, that Marshawn Lattimore and Amos have been playing.
And Jaden Daniels is out for the rest of the year, right? So
yeah.
You don't have any hope of trying to keep up with them, you know, offensively and get to the 27 or 30 points or whatever it's going to take to outscore Philadelphia tomorrow. But I guess we can always root for turnover luck and special teams. And for this 0.8% chance, it would be incredibly historic and exciting. But, you know, with Deron Bland out, the hope for me was that you could get Bland and Diggs healthy at the same time, and along with Hooker and Wilson playing better than the safeties you had in the first half of the season, like, this could be somewhat more respectable. But the injuries and then the lack of ability to rush the passer off the edge is just, we had the stat for you just about 45 minutes ago, 7% pressure rate coming off the edge since the bye. If it wasn't for your defensive tackles, there would basically be no pressure on the opposing quarterback. And that's shocking, you know, considering the veterans they brought in and the amount of pressure that, like, Clowney and Dante Fowler have, you know, been able to get. But it's not good enough to affect the passer. It's like those PFF pressures where maybe you were a couple of yards away, but the quarterback really wasn't bothered.
Yeah, you watch the tape, it doesn't seem like it's a pressure, and they call it a pressure.
Yeah.
I think this is why I asked you guys the question about Aaron Whitecott yesterday, you know, and where that's all at. You know, we were very much excited, we all were, that Aaron Whitecott was going to come in here and revitalize and uplift. And, man, we saw more of that with Jeff Seguin and that crew last year than we have, you know, with Dan Quinn. Of course, we saw that the way that they played. But this has been, I think, a very disappointing year when it comes to defensive football, defensive coached football, and the way that these players have, you know, I don't think their games across the defensive line have been elevated at all.
No, it's been bad on all three levels, and you just hope that a draft, free agency, and different coaches can really bring this thing together. Yeah. Like, you look at the Jets and what they were last year with Robert Saleh, and they let him go. They were a top-five defense last year, and now they're one of the bottom third defenses and out there. This matters.
And Aaron Whitecott was a coach on that staff, but I just don't feel like, you know, watching – and you mentioned it, you know, Sam Williams. Maybe Sam Williams is who Sam Williams is.
Sure.
Fowler was a, 10 and a half sack guy last year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's, you know, Houston. They don't know really when to play Houston. Sometimes he gets pressure. Sometimes he's not even on the field for large stretches of that. I you can say what you want. I don't think Oso Digizua has been great by any means. Quinnen Williams is Quinnen Williams because he's Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I could coach Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
You know, but that, it's just, I think it's really, really been unfortunate overall, the defense and the way that the way they've gone about some of these games and the way they played in these games.
It's incredibly disappointing. And now the Eagles have won the division back-to-back years. There's no doubt this century the Eagles have absolutely run this division so far. And now you got to look at, are they going to do it again in 2026 and put together a run like they did at the start of this century? Obviously, their biggest storyline is A.J. Brown. Will they move on from him? Saquon Barkley getting older, does he lose another half step? And Lane Johnson at 36 years old, is he going to retire? You know, and I guess he could. He did say last year, right before the Super Bowl, when he was asked about retirement, he said he's definitely playing in 2025. He hasn't said anything about 2026
not
yet.
Not at all, no.
But even then, that's two players, and that's, you know, that's fairly replaceable, and they have, you know, put together some pretty dang good drafts. So I would say at this point, you know, it looks like the Eagles would be favored to win that division again next year, and that's a little bit disappointing. I hope the Cowboys are intent on becoming aggressive. And I wonder, I know I brought this up last night with you guys, but I do wonder if back-to-back losing seasons is the catalyst that maybe the Cowboys front office needs to change their level of aggression.
I think, Dawson, they are going to be aggressive regardless. I if the season had ended and went into division and all that, I mean, it would be all, everybody'd be happy and all. I think that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones clearly have heard the fan base. I do. I feel like that whether it's on 105.3 The Fan, your podcast, my podcast, whatever work we're doing, now whether some of us like on DallasCowboys.com talking about it, I think the fan base has made a difference here. I think fans, now They show up at the games. They still buy merchandise, but that's what fans do.
Selling a lot of tickets these days to opposing fans.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I think that, to me, there's been enough. And this PR staff here with the Cowboys puts a lot of information in front of the Joneses when it comes to who's saying what. Mm. I think they
– Oh.
Yeah, so
okay.
I think that you could hear comments. You know, they're not immune to that. I've worked over there. I worked over there for 14 years doing stuff with DallasCowboys.com, working the scouting department. You see and hear everything that goes on the outside. I think that the fan base, the uproar of the fan base,
mm-hmm.
I think and I think Jerry Jones's age is another thing that's probably going to make them have the type of offseason that we're going to look back and say, okay, that was the pivot point of them going forward here.
Salute to the PR staff, by the way, for putting that in front of the Joneses. I know, you know, at some point with levels of wealth and success, you kind of get immune to it or lose touch with what the fans are thinking, and it is important for the Cowboys. The legends are all over them, the media, the fans. Okay, next fascinating matchup for this weekend, though, Packers at Bears tomorrow night, 7:20. Chicago is a 1.5-point favorite now. Packers have Baltimore and Minnesota remaining on their schedule. Now, without Micah, they'll probably still win one of those at least. And you got to like their chances against Minnesota. Ravens had a recent 5-game winning streak. Chicago's on fire. But 10-6-1 might not be enough if Detroit handles business. They and Chicago would both be at 11 wins. I mean, the Bears are at 10 right now. The Rams and Niners can easily get to 11 wins. That would shut down your wild card window. Yeah. I think this is pretty dang realistic, and it's the most interesting football that we have left to watch from a Cowboys perspective is the Packers games.
Yeah, I think that where you have to – the focus is going to be on, if you want to say, an identity check here for the Packers. When they don't have Zach Tom on the field, their right tackle, they're a different offensive line. And teams blitz that side when he's on. We'll need to see with Zach Tom what his situation is coming up for this game. But when you know, they're that's something that the Bears are really were big on. They force turnovers, they get pressures. They're not the quickest, the fastest team off the ball. But they find a way to make you uncomfortable in the pocket. And I'll say this. I kind of feel like, though, that the Bears getting pressure will be the thing in this game that maybe turns it into their favor. So they play a lot of dime personnel, too, so the extra defensive backs. So here you are with pressure, extra defensive backs. Those are all things that kind of affect Jordan Love as a quarterback.
Yeah, and they have a ton of injuries this week. And I know Quay Walker was hurt last week as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Jacobs is questionable for this game.
Yeah.
Christian Watson with the chest shoulder thing is questionable. You mentioned Zach Tom and Igbare. Evan Williams, the safety, very good safety.
Yeah.
He is questionable as well for this game. So there is hope in there with Green Bay that maybe their pick could be in the early 20s as well, and your pick could fall somewhere between 10 and 14 right now if you lose 2 out of 3. Obviously, worst-case scenarios, you could be right there on just that edge of the playoffs and have a couple of picks just inside or outside outside the top 20. So there's still a pretty big range on where these picks could fall. But the great news is, I mean, without Micah Parsons, you're not making a run through the playoffs if you're Green Bay.
No.
So, you know, maybe wild card or divisional slot at best. Dolphins are going to host the Bengals. I think you just want maximum chaos in this game. You know, the trade story of Joe Burrow is one that's significant. If they go out there and lose to the Dolphins, they're trying to bounce back after losing to the Steelers. I could definitely see that, you know, coming into play. All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And how about this, Brian?
Yep.
An NFL draft big board report.
Oh, oh.
I know how much you love talking draft.
I love the draft.
We have a college football playoff edition of the big board.
Walk me through it.
Who are the players in here that the Cowboys should consider with their first two first round picks? Brian's going to tell you about that. Answer all my questions for him coming up next year to the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. I thought Wolchuk maybe had a gastro issue earlier when he was in here, so I went out into the hallway at the break, and I was going to leave that door open. Then I rounded the corner, and it's worse out there. I think we might have some sort of a plumbing issue here.
There's
Lakeside Studios.
There's something going on in the break area.
Okay.
I don't know if it's some food we threw away, some food in the building.
Yeah.
It smells very,
okay,
very rancid right now.
Yeah. Okay. That would make sense then. I didn't poke back in there, but it kind of did smell like when I worked at KFC, they made me clean the grease trap. That was pretty offensive. But salute to Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News, for putting this list together here. What's his headline? NFL draft prospects to watch in the college football playoff. Cowboys could feel multiple needs with their top picks when you look at some of these guys. I've watched a number of the first round guys,
good for you, good start.
But I haven't seen any of the Indiana guys other than Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
But we start with Elijah Surratt, their wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Indiana kids.
Okay.
I'm with you on the Indiana kids. I've watched Indiana against a bunch of other players is what I've done.
Okay.
So, yeah, but go ahead with the name. So,
Surratt, 6'2", extremely productive, mm-hmm. 3 seasons. He was at James Madison before this. Now he's in Bloomington. He had 28 career touchdowns. What, yada, yada, yada. Jalen Tolbert will be a free agent after this season. Investing a day 2 pick in a productive receiver is not a bad call. But right now they don't have a day 2 pick, and I wouldn't bet on them. I know they'd hope that they could trade back and get good value, but sometimes there's a lot of teams willing to do that.
I'll give you a guy, and I don't know if he's going to be a first round. He might be a late one, but he might be a second round type of a player. Is this kid Concepcion from Texas A&M. You'll see him on Saturday morning, and he's a transfer from North Carolina State. I'll tell you what, he is number 7. He's not going to be hard to find in this football game. I know Miami's got some big-time players, receivers on their end, but keep an eye on Concepcion for Texas A&M.
Iconic name in sports.
Yeah, when I was watching him play, it's Casey Concepcion. When I was watching him play, he's 5'11", he's 190 pounds. If you're looking for a receiver, this is a guy. This guy is a dynamic player with the ball in his hands, the run after catch. Outstanding punt returner. He snatched the ball on the move. He runs intermediate routes. He could go down the field. You could throw him the ball. I was watching the Mississippi State game. They threw him the ball on the 4-yard line. He ran through like 3 bulldog tacklers to get into the end zone. The physicality he plays for.
I like it.
This guy, if you're going to give me a day 2 wide receiver, him. There's a kid named Boston from Washington. I know we're talking about guys in the game.
Yeah.
So, Concepcion is one you want to look at.
Yeah, we have draft prospects participating in the college football playoff here with you. in the G-Bag Nation. Of course, Broadus once again is going to quarterback and headline our draft coverage all season long. I thought there was going to be a question I meant to ask you about A&M. We'll get back to that here in just a minute, though. We go to Ohio State safety Caleb Downs.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. Ways you can get a day two pick if you wanted to take Concepcion.
Yeah,
that's either a move back with the Packers pick or, yeah. I mean, where are you with trading George Pickens right now? A tag and trade of George Pickens. Do you think there's any possibility? I think if he struggles in the final three games, it'd become fairly realistic.
I kind of felt like that if you weren't going to do anything to tag him, if you were just going to play through. But it just sounds like to me that Dallas is so much interested in getting a deal. But, yeah, I think the best way to get day two picks would be to move likely your own pick. You know, and I'm talking about where you could get, like, a higher. So, say, for example, you're at 14 and you would say, you would probably have a better chance of getting more quality with your pick than you would the Packer pick.
Okay.
So, if you're interested, you know, you never want to trade away from a great player. And Dallas might be in a situation where if they lose these games, they'll be hovering right around that area that, you know, where they could get an outstanding player. I know on my stack there's probably going to be 15 to 17 first-round grades. So you're kind of right at the end of the, you know, where the run might be or the actually how many first-round grades you might have. And that's cool. But I think moving that first pick – your own pick is the one that will get you the best value for those day two, day three picks. Trading Pickens, it just sounds like to me that they're kind of like excited about maybe trying to get this done.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, but I would have traded him. I would have traded him before the trade deadline if the intention was not to sign him or not to tag him.
Be very interesting to see how they do that. I want George Pickens back, but not if it means they're going to sacrifice other parts of the team. Like, we need to fill out a lot of spots. And if you're like, well, we have George, and now we're going to ask George, CD, and Dak to make up for all the weaknesses elsewhere, I think we've seen that play before. We know how it ends. Ohio State has a number of players. Arvell Reese, linebacker, edge. Yeah. Sonny Styles, linebacker. Wide receiver Carnell Tate, and then you add Caleb Downs. I'm a little different on Downs. I think I want him to fall outside the top 10 for me to pick him. Like, is he there at 13, 14, 15? Is he one of those last players? Because he's a box safety. Coming downhill, he's outstanding. I don't know what he's going to look like if you wanted to play him more in coverage. I think he's a perfect player for that kind of system, maybe a cover three system. I don't know. You take over here, Brian. Tell me what you think of Caleb Downs.
Yeah, I think this guy is very reminiscent of what you see with Brian Branch in a way. This young man started his career at Alabama, like a freshman All-American, a star from the jump. So he's played a lot of big games in his life. He led the Alabama team in tackles his freshman year playing safety. And he was a big part of that championship run last year for the Buckeyes. I think this guy processes information really quickly. The communication skills, when you watch him play, he's always kind of talking with the linebackers. He's talking with the corners. He's pointing out where things need to be going on. I think he's, as we mentioned, I think he's a reliable tackler in open space. I think he doesn't shy away from the contact. I really like the way that he does a really good job of breaking down in space and making those plays. He's kind of a guy that finishes through the ball carrier. This guy, when I did my report, he'd played 415 defensive snaps, and he had only missed six tackles and all that. So I was pretty impressed with that. I mentioned the Brian Branch. You can see him line up at linebacker. You can see him line up at safety. You can see him play slot corner. There's some snaps where he's actually playing as a free. I've kind of listed him as a strong safety type of prospect, but don't think of him as just a box player. I think of him as a guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything. He might very well be one of the top 5 to 8 players in the country when this is all said and done, when people really start to stack, depending on where they have some of these edges, where they have these linebackers. He could very well be in the mix with those guys.
Speaking of edges and linebackers, take me to his teammate Arvell Reese. Do you think the NFL is going to look at him as an edge?
I've got him listed as an outside linebacker myself, and the thing that I think he could do both. I think that you're talking very much at 6'4", 243 pounds, very reminiscent of what you might have with the Micah Parsons kind of a player. You know, this guy, I think he's going to be one of the best players in the country when it's all said and done. When I do my stack, he's probably going to be there one or two on my board. But he plays with this raw strength. He's got some violence to his game. He's one of those guys that can really cover some ground as a player. You watch him when he rushes the passer and the ball's going away. I mean, he is running for somebody that big. He just can overwhelm blockers. I think he's got the power to do these things. I mean, this is not just one of those, oh, like he's a linear built thin guy running to the football. You know,
kind of what he looks like.
Been in the corner.
But he's more than that.
He's more than that. His power is really, really, really good.
Okay. Talk to me then about their middle linebacker, Sonny Styles. He's number zero, right?
Yeah, he was recruited as a safety to Ohio State, and they moved him to linebacker. I scouted his dad way back in the day, and he's got that same kind of temperament. This is a guy.
Kind of quieter, right?
Yeah, much quieter type player. But you could watch early in the season, like if you watch the Texas game, maybe he was struggling that opening game of getting off blocks and kind of playing better with his hands and doing what he needed to do. You watch the Indiana game, the Big Ten championship game. He was all over the place. He plays downhill. He's got lateral quickness. He's got downhill quickness. He plays with power. He's smart. He could cover. He plays in space. There's a lot of this complete linebacker to his game. I mean, he uses his hands so much better now, and he puts himself in position to make a lot of plays.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a nose for the ball. When he sees it, he's over there. Man, at 6'4", again, he's another 245-pound guy. And these are Ohio State linebackers, and you got to know they're playing in that kind of a pro-style system with Matt Patricia. You know, they're getting that pro-like coaching when it comes to, hey, how to read, how to play, how to diagnose, where you need to be, how you need to fit. All those things make these kids ready to play.
I am so biased towards dogs, and I don't think there's enough dog in his game. Like, his tackling is weird. He's more like going to drag you down.
Yeah.
And he's so big, like you're not going to get away from him. He's got an incredible wingspan, but obviously, as a first-round pick, I'd love to take him. I just wouldn't do that in the top 10 or maybe top 12 picks, something like that. We go to Georgia. Their linebacker, C.J. Allen, is the first player Joseph Hoyt lists, but also Dalen Everett, Oscar Delp, and the wide receiver, Noah Thomas. I really liked Allen, speaking of dogs, though.
Yeah, I think this guy physically is a really good player, and he moves well. The reactions are really, really good. The physical strength is really good. He can work through blockers. You see him. I mean, he is no problem. Getting through that, they always call it the trash. The short area quickness is good. The burst, he could run down a play in space. This is a guy you mentioned as a dog. He plays to the echo of the whistle and beyond. And that's when you start to talk about those guys that, you know what, he's like got that little bit of an edge about him. But man, I'll tell you what, the acceleration, the burst.
The strength, the contact balance.
If I would say this guy has a weakness, I would say the weakness is pass coverage stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a great man cover guy. We hear Shoddy talk about spot drop linebackers. When he's talking about that, it's like he goes to a spot, that's where he's going to get, and then kind of read what's going on. I think Styles has got more ability to read and see. That's probably because of his safety background.
Yeah.
But I think Allen... He's 6'1", he's 235 pounds, very similar to Rodriguez from Texas Tech when you look at, boy, but he looks like a thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thicker, bigger player weight-wise than what Rodriguez, but both those guys surely get after the ball.
Okay, let's go on to Texas Tech then, as we're looking at college football playoff players who the Cowboys could draft, make this team better. Linebacker Jacob Rodriguez is number one. Been a standout for Tech. Enters the playoff with 117 tackles, seven forced fumbles.
Yeah,
the Cowboys like linebackers who can be around the ball and punch it. He kind of reminds me of the 6'1" college point guard who averages 25 points per game. It's just, I don't know if he's big and athletic enough to get it done at the NFL level.
Yeah, the thing that's going to be the question mark about him now, when you talk to scouts, they absolutely love him. And then the first thing that they say is, does he check all the boxes? And the physical boxes, yes, there's the limitations there. This guy went to Virginia originally, and it was a quarterback. So he's a quarterback, running back. He's played wide receiver.
Smart.
His first year, he kind of did all those offensive things. Came to Tech, was dealing with some injuries. I think the Liz Frank on the foot was something he dealt with. And then the last 2 years, he has been great. You talk about creating turnovers, being around the ball. There's been some smaller linebackers we've seen in the league now. The Carson Schlesinger that, we've seen him out of UCLA, lighter linebacker, but always around the ball, always tackling. This guy is one of those types. I think to me you see a guy that kind of when it creates turnovers, his ability to play in coverage. I was watching him in the Houston game where it was drop, turn. He was just getting depth. And as the quarterback was moving, he was getting depth with the quarterback, the ability to turn, adjust, turn again, adjust, and then get in to go make a play on the ball. He's just around the ball a ton. He's not a big guy. I don't think he has the power that you have in Allen. But when you start to talk about just that nose and the ability to tackle, that's what this kid's got.
I love listening to you talk about these guys and the kind of things you're looking for. I wanted to get your thoughts on their edge, David Bailey, because he's the best player that's going to come. He seems like the most refined pass rusher in the country to me.
Yeah, I think when you look at David Bailey, now here's these, we always talk about these bendy athletic guys, 6'3", 250 pounds, transfer from Stanford. They went out and bought this player is what they did. But he is a super impressive athlete. He does a really good job of coming off the ball. He plays with that explosive quickness. The first step about him, he can cover some ground when he's playing on the move. He runs plays down from the backside. You see teams. I was watching the Utah. I watched the BYU games, the game that was played in Lubbock, and then the game that was played, the Big 12 championship game. He's just got this knack for going after and getting the football. He has all kinds of pass rush moves. He could swat. He could swim. He could spin.
Yeah, the spin's awesome.
Yeah, he does everything to kind of free himself. I mentioned the bend, being 6'3", 250 pounds. He could retrace his steps to get back in on a play. Ball goes up the field. Now he's back in on the play. He is not the biggest guy weight-wise. And so all of a sudden there were some snaps where you see some of the bigger blockers were able to kind of move him around a little bit. But when you talk about the explosiveness, the way to get off the edge, bendy, create problems in the pocket, this guy will probably hear his name pretty early.
Okay, we ran late on that one, but there's more players to cover, and the college football playoff is underway tonight. So let's continue. We'll get to A&M and the players they have going that could help the Cowboys and the remaining teams as well. Then coming up at 5 o'clock, it'll be time for What You Drinking and What You Thinking. Here it's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get the classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Silverados, Tahoes, Blazers, Malibus, Equinox, and more. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
Thank you, Jacob Ray, in for Lucius Alexander here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys pregame Sunday morning, 9 a.m. with Broadus and Chiafalo. And then the postgame, 3:15, 3:30 or so with Woolchuck and Broadus, taking you into the afternoon as the Cowboys take on the Chargers here week 16. We are in the midst of covering what is going to happen coming up late April, early May, the NFL draft. And, of course, 105.3 The Fan will be leading the charge here with the best draft coverage in the country here on your home of the Cowboys. We covered a number of schools there in that in the previous segment. If you want to go back and listen, if you're on the Odyssey app, Twitch, or YouTube, but let's jump over here to Texas A&M, the broadest family school there up until he turned coat on him and went to LSU.
Yeah.
And then young Bennett Broadus finishing up here in Austin now.
Yeah, he's excited. He gets to pull the cannon all the way. He gets to drive the cannon, Smokey the Cannon, from from Austin to Orlando for a bowl game. Yeah, they're going to be on the sidelines for the bowl game. So, yeah, that'll be his last official duty with Smokey the Cannon. And, yeah, he is done with all his undergraduate stuff. So he's on his way to the McCombs Business School Master's Program.
We could talk Longhorns as well, some Anthony Hill, some other draft prospects down there at UT. But this is all about college football playoff players who could be of interest for the Cowboys. And salute to Joseph Hoyt once again, Morning News, for putting this thing together. At A&M, he starts the fun off here with their edge, Cassius Howell.
Yeah.
I haven't watched him yet. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I tell you what, I am I'm a big fan of this Cassius Howell. At 6'4", he's about 245 pounds. He's a great-looking kid. You watch the Notre Dame game, the LSU game, Mississippi State, Florida. Guy's a transfer from Bowling Green. So we're going to see that a lot. We're going to hear, hey, he was a transfer from. He was. But we talked about Bailey with the first step, the quickness, the explosiveness he has. What's amazing about him is the way he gets off the ball, and he does it from a two-point stance. Like, he plays standing up, almost like an outside linebacker. So you'll see him sometimes hand on the ground, but the most of the time, his first step, he's on like 2 feet and going. And, you know, it's pretty impressive. He can win a lot of different ways rushing the passer. I've seen him, like, duck underneath blockers, come off the ball. I've seen him turn the corner with speed. I've seen him win with power. I've seen that, like, that cross chop where he hits guys' hands, knocks the blocker's hands out of the way. He's got that spin when he needs to. Man, he could be really impressive coming around the corner. I love the way he uses his hands. I know there's people talking about, well, he might not have the outstanding length and all that. Show me an offensive tackle in the league nowadays that extends his hands fully. You know, I mean, we make so much about the arm length and, you know, scouts forever. Oh, he's got short arms. Very rarely are we seeing these tackles nowadays completely extend on these blockers. So,
do you have him in the first round?
I have him in the second round.
Okay.
Actually, I've got Bain from Miami as my first overall edge, Bailey from Texas Tech, and then with my 15 grades likely or 16 grades, Howell's going to fall in that group of the stack from, say, 16, 17, 18, somewhere right around. So he will end up being probably a first-round player. But I've got him right now. I've got Bain, Miami, Bailey, Texas Tech. Howell then would be my next guy. And behind him is Mason Thomas from Oklahoma. We'll see him play against Alabama tonight.
Cannot wait. We're just 2 hours and 10 minutes from the college football playoff getting underway. Hoyt did throw in the wide receiver, Casey Concepcion, that you mentioned earlier.
A really good player if you're looking for a day two guy. He might go the end of day one. Mm. He's got that. It's just impressive. You watch North Carolina State tape, and you see the same thing. This guy's got separation. He catches the ball out front. The run after catch is impressive. The power, he can run. He's a punt returner. You could see all these things in the open field with him as a player. And he wears number 7. So Miami will have their hands full with them throwing the ball to him and him making stuff happen.
The other player is the linebacker, Torian York. I thought maybe...
You haven't seen York yet.
Similar value to Rodriguez for me. I'm just really good. Maybe a little undersized college football linebacker. York?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, okay. I watched him the other night.
What'd you think?
You know, just kind of like Rodriguez, where it's a smaller guy who is awesome at college football, but I don't trust his physicality at the next level.
Gotcha.
Okay, the safety, Peyton Bowen, as we go to OU now, and the game tonight, Cowboys fans, if you're looking for an added reason to check out that game, many Dallas area readers familiar with this guy, a standout and five-star recruit at Denton Guyer, 3 years at OU, consistent and productive safety, has two interceptions in his last four games. Mm-hmm. Potential day three pick that could add an impact to his hometown Cowboys, and they're gonna need some day three love if they're gonna fill all these holes out of the draft. The other players, the wide receiver Isaiah Satania. The defensive tackle Grayson Halton and the defensive tackle Dominic Williams. Mm-hmm. So, number of guys there coming out of OU. What'd you think at Bama of the tackle Caden Proctor compared to the other guys?
Yeah, I tell you what, I got Proctor. I've got Fanu, the Utah tackle, is number one. The Miami right tackle, number two, and I've got Proctor as my third best tackle. I have him again. He's going to fall out of that range of my first round guys, but at 366 pounds, this guy's pretty damn impressive with the way that he moves. And you know, sometimes these tackles, for example, remember Amarius, Mims, Donovan Smith, these guys are these massive tackles and they don't move particularly well. This guy's just the opposite of that. He's 6'7". And I mentioned 366 pounds.
Dang.
He just overwhelms people coming off the ball. I mean, when he comes out of his stance, you talk about some instant just push. If you're watching Booker last year, Tyler Booker for Alabama, you noticed Proctor a lot. I mean, you noticed him a lot in the way that he played. He's just a difficult guy to deal with because of how big he is. The power, the mass, that's a problem. He's a hard guy to get away from because he's got really good grip strength. So if you try and rush him down the middle, you're absolutely dead. If you try and take him to the edge, he's a guy that's got some of that lateral slide. He can finish blocks very easily with the way he plays. He likes to punch defenders. You can see him, the way he jolts them. Man, he can kind of get guys off balance that way. That sometimes the hand placement will come and go a little bit, but that initial punch is really, really, really good with him. You got to watch him, though, too, because sometimes if he gets beat, he gets a little grabby. So he'll grab somebody. But it's not often that they get the corner on him. But for somebody that's 6'7", 366, man, he is the total package when it comes to power and athletic ability.
Where do you think he's going to be drafted?
I think he's going to be I would think that maybe that the Utah, as I mentioned, the Utah tackle, Fanu, would be I think that guy might – I think he would probably be the first one. We'll see with the Miami with what he would go. There's a kid, Lomu – I think I say it right, Lomu, from Utah, the other tackle as well. He's more of an athlete. People might draft these athletic tackles before they take a guy with that size because they're worried about a guy being that damn big. Mm. But, man, I'll tell you what, he is super impressive the way he plays, though.
All righty. There is a double segment NFL draft big board report. I mean, it's only appropriate here, but the Cowboys' playoff chances sitting at 0.8%. Yeah. What are you thinking about your Cowboys, the draft, the Mavs, the Stars, the college football playoffs at 877-881-1053? It is time now for What You Drinking and What You Thinking. And we're back with that here in hour four of the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.